The word that I will be sharing with you this morning is part of a series I'm working on. It's a work in progress called Growing the Family of God. So if you will this morning, please turn in your Bibles with me. And we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. So you can be ready. You could turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to be there and start in verse 11 when it comes time. But first I'd like to pray again. Heavenly Father, we come before you today giving you praise and worshiping you. Lord, we pray that that worship and praise is a sweet savor to you. We thank you so much, Lord, for this day and for this time together to worship you corporately. We give you, Lord, all the praise and glory because it does belong to you. And Lord, in sharing your word, in preaching your word, teaching your word, we need you, each and every one of us, in every way that you have called us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need you, Lord, in this family of God, and you are here. There is no doubt. I pray that you would anoint our hearts to hear and receive your word as you have given it, that you would guard me in what I say, that I speak your heart, Lord, your word, and not my opinion. I pray that you would help it to be a seed that's planted in a cultivated soil of the heart that would grow. And Lord, we know that you give the increase. In the mighty name of Jesus, help us grow. Amen. Growing the family of God. Last week, we talked about faith. Last week, we talked about righteousness. And we learned about that. This morning, Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 13 is where we'll actually start for the reading. I'm going to read that verse. So if you will, stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read this verse. Lord, we revere your word. Your word is holy and we accept it, Lord. Ephesians 4:13 says, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God bless your word to your servants. Amen. You may be seated. So the focus today is on growing the family of God. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians from chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. And 13 talks about a maturing person and us maturing in God. But I want to talk to you for just a minute about families in general. So families, they're complex, aren't they? There's none alike, none. Even families that come from families are different. My children, each one, are different from the other in their family unit. And they do things a little differently here and there. I thank the Lord that they all know him and serve him. Family System Series says that the definition is families are complex, they're interconnected, emotional unit, where each member's behavior affects the functioning of the entire system. And if you, as we should, filter that first of all through the Word of God, it does appear true. That We are interconnected. We are complex because we are fearfully and wonderfully made individuals by the hand of God. There's not one person that's born under the face of this earth that is not God created. He created them from the beginning, and He is the Heavenly Father, our Creator. And so within our family units, we're going to have things that's happening all throughout our lives. And each one of us has very many different stories to tell. We have a family here from Togo, Africa. The stories of families are vast and throughout the world. And it's beautiful what God is doing in families. Of course, the enemy is attacking families and trying to destroy the family unit, but God is God. And God created the family's family system. You have stories to share. You have many stories, I'm sure. You probably sit at times and laugh and chuckle and just have a hoot day about the stories that you remember growing up. And sometimes those stories aren't so fun. Sometimes those stories are terrible stories, horrible stories in life. And yet people survive and push through and even have their own families and grow past that. Families are amazing. It's beautiful. Families pass down this oral tradition. They describe their ancestors. You've probably done that. Describe your grandpa or your grandma or your great-grandparents. You've probably heard your children talking about stories they remember when they were growing up in your home and you were the parent, or your sisters, or your cousins telling about their families and their parents. You have a family. You have a family. Some of our families are already in glory. Some of our family members are there already, rejoicing in the presence of God. I remember my great-grandpa Nicholson. He's my grandfather on my mom's side. If I think about him and I'm in a quiet place, I can hear the sound of his voice. I remember sitting on his knee on the front porch as he bounced me on the knee, me on one side, my sister on the other. And he would make up these songs about some old man going down the road and something else happening. He would just create a song and sing. I remember something about going to my grandparents' house that was a little different than my siblings remember, because they were outside playing. I was an odd child, and I loved to just sit in the company of the adults. My grandparents had 15 children. My great-grandparents had 15 children. And then their children were there. And we would sit in the living room in chairs and seats, and that would be all the way around the living room. And I would squeeze in between some adult just to hear the things that they were talking about. It was so interesting to me the way that they would talk. They would talk about their gardens and the weather. They would talk about family members and what was going on. But one of the most interesting things that was happening, and the thing that I was very curious about, was they would say, "Wow, God's really blessed these tomatoes this year. Isn't the Lord giving us such good sun today? Or rain, we really needed the rain." Or they'll stop and pray. I loved it. I just was drawn to it. What would they say next about God? We have a story to tell. Some of us keep pictures and scrapbooks and family memories. They're captured now on all kinds of media platforms. Just to hold true to those memories of special times. Some people record voices and sounds. I have the recording of my grandmother singing. But it was as a child that I began to learn about God. And that is what we need more than anything growing up, isn't it? To learn about our Creator, our Father, our Heavenly Father. How is it that we are here? I remember being a teenager thinking, what is my purpose? And until God showed me, I didn't understand it fully. We have a great hope of an eternal day. A great hope of a day of resurrection. We, if we are in Christ Jesus, if we've accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, we have that hope, that blessed hope, that we will see Him if we are in the family of God. We need Jesus for that. He paid the price for our adoption into the family of God. We all know that greatest story, I believe. That story that was told and is being told throughout the generations. That story of salvation that is eternal salvation in Jesus. That story that's been shared down through the ages. That story that's been shared even before Jesus gave His life, when the Old Testament, our patriarchs were pointing and looking for Him to come. God's Word is filled with the stories of who He is and His plan of salvation for our lives. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist. We exist for Him. We grow in Christ closer to God. There is no other way to grow closer to God in this family that we have. It's a precious family, the family of God. It's a beautiful thing not to be alone. Loneliness is a hard road, isn't it? If you've ever experienced loneliness, you know how hard it is to be alone. And yes, you can be alone in a room full of people. You can be alone in your moment of suffering. You can be alone in your family unit. You can. You could be the only Christian in that family unit and feel that separation. But we are never alone in the family of God. Never alone. When we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it's like we have a big brother. He has engrafted us in. He's made a way where we can be a part of something that is eternal, the family of God. Ephesians 1:4-11 and 6-16 says this. And He gave up the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. These are gifts to the family of God, to the church of God. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I want to pause there. I don't know about you, but that measure and that stature and that fullness of Christ is huge to me. He gave us great example on how to be by being the Son of God before us. How to be in this family. How to love one another, forgive one another. How to even give our lives for one another. And for the lost, He gave His life. Verse 14 says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. The world is full of those things. We need our family. We need each other. And we need each other desperately to be walking in Christ, following God's will, praying earnestly, daily. We need each other to read and study the Word of God daily. There's a warfare going on out there, and souls are dying. And if it weren't for the blessed hope, if it weren't for Jesus Christ, my children would not be going along with us to glory. I would not be able to call Jesus my Lord and Savior except He called me. He does this work through us, the church, the family, the body of Christ. By the power of His Holy Spirit, He will give you everything you need to make a witness before man, before the most wretched and vile soul in the world. God is able to save them and draw them out of their darkness by us, the children of the family of God, being the people of God that He has called us to be. He makes a way where there is no way. With a love so big, that only the Heavenly Father Himself can understand all of that. That we get to see it in Jesus by His Holy Spirit revealing to us. Verse 15 says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way to Him who is the head, into Christ. That is so complicated when you're looking at it and you're really studying it. We're not just growing alongside of Him. He is not on the other side of the room from us. We are not left alone. He is with us. And we grow in Him. Have you ever seen a vine growing? And when it's all attached, it's beautiful and green and just flowing. Maybe it's a grapevine and the fruits are just hanging. When the season comes, they're ready to be harvested. When we grow in the family of God, in Christ Jesus, to the maturity that we are to be in, as we grow, He matures us and makes us what we are to be. I would have never dreamed that this would be for me, that He would love me when I was a young person, teenager. But He did. And He drew me. And He called me. And then He engrafted me after I received Him for who He is as my Lord and Savior. And He plugged me in to the source of my life. I cannot express enough with words enough to say what He has done for me. And then when I look at what He has done for Roger or one of my children, I could leap off this platform. And yet that's not even the half of it. God has done that for us all. He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It never grows old if you're in the family of God, unless you become bitter. It never grows old if you're in the family of God, unless you turn your back on your family and your God, and you begin to walk away. It never grows old being in this wonderful family of God. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So that it builds itself up in love. in God, by God, but properly working. I'm thinking on sharing some family thing. We all have family members. And you may remember when you were a child and you had to do the work, you were called to it. Your father would say, go do the dishes or go cut the grass. And you got maybe siblings. Maybe you had them. And you find yourself out there in the yard pushing the lawnmower and thinking, where's my siblings? Why aren't they out here? Why is it me? We can't think that way in the family of God. We can't. We can't be focused on other people's shortcomings and faults and what we would think they are. We pray for them. And in love, we love them in God's love. And we work. And we find joy in whatever chore that God would have us do, whatever calling, really feels not like a chore when you love the Lord. It's a joy. I wouldn't be coming up here, I got to preach. No, I get to. I'm going to go out here and win a soul. Oh, I got to witness? No, I get to witness. I get to witness the glory of God to someone who is in great need and in despair, maybe even. Or maybe they feel their life is just absolutely okay. The family of God working together is fitly joined together, working properly. And that doesn't happen without love. And I could turn you to the love chapter. And we could talk about how all the work we could do for the Lord is not enough if we do it with the wrong attitude, without heart of love, or without Christ's love at all, just because we think we're going to go to church and go to heaven because we're going to church, or just because we're paying our tithe, we're going to heaven. It's not about works like we talked about last week. So families are complex. And the focus today is maturing in the family of God. Maturing to the full stature of Christ. Maturing to the point where we can hear His calling, His voice, His leading. We can't just imagine it. It's not about imagination. We have to have His word, like we talked about last week. We can't live without feeding on the word of God. And as we sit around the table as families, we know, if you remember maybe, your parents trying to get you to eat the good stuff before you eat the dessert. Some of the things that we have in our hearts and the Lord is working to help us get out of our lives so that the hindrances are gone, so that we will win the world for Him, are hard, sometimes painful. Some of us, we have grudges or bitterness. Some of us, we have unforgiveness. Some of us, we have doubt. And the kind of doubt I'm talking about is an insecurity that does not trust God, but that is full of anxiety. And we're not laying that down before the Lord. And some of us hold on to other things and the sins that can so easily beset us. We've got to lay them aside, and we can't do that unless we go to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus and cry out to Him. Some of us need healing in our bodies. I stand here today needing healing in my body, and I trust God to take care of every bit of it. And it is for the glory of God that I can stand here today. And I can give him praise because he is continually healing me and carrying me along. He is good to us. He is oh so good to us. For his great name's sake. For his great name's sake.